Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Tilford, joined by James Stiles.
Hi, Scott and Josh.
And Josh Brown, giving it away, James Stiles.
Sorry, everybody. My third member was more coveted than an MCU cameo appearance, and you've just given it away, James Stiles.
Josh Brown will return.
Not to worry. Speaking of things that I can't even make this work as a segue, but speaking of things that aren't going to happen, Mr. Jules isn't going to do the UBP on Friday because he's got the COVID. Oh. So we wish the man very well. Hopefully he's going to get better very soon. The UBP will return next week. I'm mentioning this because this is the main What Culture Gaming Podcast, but we still thought we'd do a bunch of questions, all sorts of different things, all sorts of different topics, because that's usually what me and Jules do on a Friday, and there are many, many questions left over from the amount of times that we ask for things on a Friday, and we have many things to dive into. So we'll get through as many questions as we can. First one by Mr. Happy, who says, hot take, I think Sonic 2 is the best Sonic piece of media we've had since Sonic Unleashed.
Sonic,
James Dell.
Sonic 2 the film?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely agree.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely agree.
Like,
since Sonic Unleashed?
Since Sonic, he's not classing Sonic Mania, which is kind of...
He's wrong there.
He's a little bit crazy, isn't he?
He's completely wrong with all of that.
Mr. Actually. Happy? Yeah. Mr. Crazy?
No, sorry, Josh. Go on.
Now I'm just going to ask, what is this cult that everyone has entered in? Because everyone is going nuts off Sonic 2.
I don't. It was... it is a bit of a cult.
Go on. Wait, give your wrong opinion. Go on.
What do you mean?
It's a good film.
It's a fine film.
Best film since Sonic 1.
The best of the Beatles.
Spiked the mic there. I was way too close. I was not expecting that.
That's fine. The compressor will do its job. I think in regards to, I don't know, the movie I just thought was fine. I had a lot of fun. It did spark in me an absolute insane love of Sonic, though, but I don't know how much it is me remembering how much I loved Sonic when I was a kid versus just how little other anything there is to play right now, or there hasn't been for the last few weeks, where I finished Elden Ring, and then I just, as I've said many times on the podcasts, plural podcasts, I've played about 30 years worth of Sonic games in a row, including Sonic Lost World, which is horrendous. But I can't get out of it.
Sonic Unleashed, what, 2008, I think that was? Since then, Generations, fantastic game.
Sonic Generations, let me do a hot take, is the second best Sonic game of all time. Sonic 2, number one, Sonic Generations, number two. I don't really have anything after that.
What about Sonic Mania?
Sonic Mania, I don't really count that because it's like a remake of like 1, 2, 3. Sonic Mania is like a default number one. It exists outside of the actual ranking. Sonic Generations' final boss is horrendous, but everything else is immaculate. That game is stellar.
I'd agree with that.
I need to get in on this because I was in a hotel room a few weeks ago and Sonic the Hedgehog 1 was on the television and I watched 5 minutes of it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to lie to you, boys. I turned over the channel to watch the snooker instead. I wanted a bit of Ronnie O'Sullivan in my life.
I can't argue with that. I mean, you know,
S the Hedgehog.
Sadly, not any John Virgo, but you've got to make do.
I don't know what that means. What does that mean?
John Virgo used to do all the trick shots. Yeah, he was snooker man.
Snooker.
Back on Big Break.
Shockingly,
with him who shall not be named, and then also John Virgo.
John Virgo, you put a
pool ball, a snooker ball in a bag, brown bag, and then you would like move it, and then you'd just hit the other ball, and hit the other ball in the bag, and then it would go in the pocket. It was great.
Sonic off and you didn't even know this.
There are so many like conversations we have in this podcast where I kind of know what's going on. This is the only one in 4 years where I have no idea what you've just said.
This is a fever dream. But also, what did you see in the Sonic movie that made you turn it over? Was he when he was doing the little floss?
He wasn't flossing.
He does do a little floss.
Did he do flossing? He does a little floss as well.
Yeah. Right. It's horrible. Okay. It's a horrible time.
Okay. Yeah. It was just, what's that guy called? Is he called like
Jim Carrey?
I know who Jim Carrey is.
Ben Schwartz.
Something Marsden.
James Marsden.
James Marsden, the guy who plays Cyclops. Yes. Yeah, he was kind of there, and I was just like, Why is this so grey? Like, the first Sonic movie was greyer Sonic's than I blue. Expected. He's blue.
Silver the Hedgehog is grey.
The movie doesn't look as colourful as I want a Sonic the Hedgehog
it's a
movie
road
to
trip. You're not wrong. It's just a road trip movie with a CGI hedgehog.
I like that they're sort of best mates in that first one. I like that they're just two dudes on a road trip, and then weirdly in two, he's like, I love you, Dad. And I'm like, yeah, just if I just said that to Josh, I mean, maybe I'd get away with it with Josh, but it just, I was just like, that's just random. I was like, no, I like your relationship being lads on the road, lads on tour, not like turning it into this weird adoption thing.
Yeah, it's odd.
I've forgotten. What was this question?
The question was that Sonic 2 the movie is the best piece of Sonic media we've had since Sonic Unleashed.
And we are agreeing with that, yes or no?
We might
not
have
since Sonic Unleashed.
Okay.
Sonic Unleashed was 2008, so we've got like 14 years of Sonic games. Yeah, I will say Sonic Generations beats it.
Absolutely.
Easily. Yeah. But Sonic 2 the movie was a nice time. Yeah. So I don't know if I'd recommend it to Josh if he hated number one that much.
I hated 5 minutes of Isolation. Yeah. Number one. So
I don't know if Sonic 2 is going to bring you back, though.
Oh, it brought me back. But I never left, though.
That's true.
So
no, we do live there. So
I am in the boat.
Yes, it's a thing. We've got more Sonic questions. Now, I had to tone these down when me and Jules were going through them because I felt bad I was bombarding him with them. But I know that James Dowse is a big Sonic fan. I know Josh isn't necessarily, so he's going to get further bombardment. Next question from Jack Asbury. If Jim Carrey does retire from acting, do you think the next Sonic film can get by without him? This is an interesting question. Oh, Mr. James Dowse,
he'll be in it.
Do you think he's going to come back, considering he's talking about retiring? Do you think he'll...
won't.
I saw him saying he wants to be Fat Robotnik, which I'm like, why not? If you're going to you've done this so far, come back as big rotund Nick.
Or it could just be a robotic Robotnik where he's not actually in it and it's just his voice, maybe.
Or like some weird algorithm.
I don't know.
Luke Skywalker thing.
Knuckles isn't an idiot like he was at the end of Sonic 2.
I don't mind that.
Okay.
It's a bit like how he is in Sonic Boom, which I've kind of come around on.
What's your opinion, Josh?
Would he do it if Robotnik was CG, is my question. Would he come back as a voice, you know? Okay.
I mean, he just said, I forget what his exact quote was. I don't think he's necessarily saying, I'm officially retiring from acting. I think he just said he wanted to take a break or something, which is also what Benedict Cumberbatch said. So I think they just want to get away from it for a bit, or this weird CG madness.
Well, my question then, on top of this question, is do you want to see them use... I know Robotnik is obviously, you know, the most iconic Sonic villain.
Yes.
But can you use the same villain in a movie franchise three films in a row? Is that not overkill?
Sega's been using Robotnik for 30 years.
Jim Carrey is like one of the main draws of that film.
Yeah.
Move him and then who we got.
I totally agree, but surely you got to call time at some point and introduce some new villains. I think they try do something
Shadow.
Different.
That's
man.
The point. Yeah.
But who do they do? Like I said, they've had like every time they've tried to do a different villain in the Sonic games, it's barely worked. Like the Lost World, which I'm playing right now, has those weird evil alien men, and they're nothing compared to.
No, you got Metal Sonic, you got Shadow the Hedgehog.
Shadow's one of his mates now, anyway. Yeah. Still hanging out.
Oh, is he?
I think so. Oh. On the old friends, he talks to him in Sonic Adventure 2. Yeah,
that sounds. You know,
delightful.
Fascinating. I'm a big fan of Shadow the Hedgehog, the best Sonic game, so maybe I'll come back for that.
Since Sonic Unleashed.
Considering the amount of stuff they're doing for the 31st anniversary, I like them just sort of rolling it around again. I'm just COVID, let's do it again, 31st anniversary. Why don't they have a Shadow the Hedgehog 4K 120 frames a second re-release?
Lord.
On the Series X.
Good Lord.
My friend.
Two people will buy it.
Yeah. And two people will love it.
That's
got to be done.
Damn right.
But yeah, in terms of... I promise we'll get over Sonic questions. There is one more Sonic question.
Of course,
but for this one, that idea of... Because I guess for both of you, for Josh initially, Sonic, how much was Jim Carrey ever getting you in? Is that one of the reasons you might see it?
Big time. Like, the only thing I know, apart from the 5 minutes of Sonic 1 that I watched, is the end credits where he, you know, he threatened to return. He had his mustache and he was going to come back in a big way. So when the trailers for Sonic 2 dropped and Jim Carrey seemingly had a wilder role, should we say, was more of the focus.
There's so much unscripted stuff. Yeah. They just let him go.
Like, the idea of that is something that almost made me see it in the end. I just didn't because I didn't have time, but he's absolutely a draw for someone on the periphery like me.
It's interesting because if they get rid of him, like, I think he'll do one more and then I don't know what you do after that because the Sonic movies are making insane amounts of money. It's like ludicrous how much money they've made so far, but I don't know what you do because like Sega / Paramount or whoever it was that's funding this stuff is going to want a Sonic 4 or as many as they can possibly do. And I imagine Ben Schwartz and, I mean, Tails is already the voice actor from the games anyway.
Idris
might do a bit more. He's only just come on board.
Well, he's doing the Knuckles TV show.
Yeah, so it's going to be all fleshed out and everything. I don't know, as a Sonic fan, what would you do?
It completely
Robotnik?
Depends who the voice actor for Shadow, if Shadow is in the next one. Hint, hint.
Well, he's in the credits.
Oh, I didn't want to spoil
He's
it.
In the posty for the hardcore. Hint, any hardcore Sonic fan has seen this movie already.
Well, either way, they'll get somebody to voice Shadow, someone cool, you know.
Jack Black.
Me.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, Gilbert's gone now, isn't he? Gilbert Gottfried. That would have been an outstanding voice.
That's, you know, straight from Aladdin to Sonic. It's a straight career path. Final Sonic question. We'll do this one quicker. By Edward Shiraz Hans. What is the best Sonic game, Mega Drive only? Sonic 2.
What does that go from? Sonic 2 to
Sonic 1, 2, and 3. Okay. Or you could have Sonic and Knuckles as the plug-in.
Sonic Mania. I don't know. Sonic have to 3, go. I guess.
Really? 3 over 2?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, interesting.
Sonic CD, I'd personally say, but okay.
That's not on the Mega Drive, though. No. That's Josh.
What's that one you had to plug in to one of them where it was became like Sonic and Tails?
That's Sonic 3. And Knuckles.
That's the one I want, Sonic and Knuckles.
That's the little add-on
Why?
Thing.
It's a good gimmick.
Okay.
It's really it is a very good gimmick. It's a very money-first gimmick of like, pay us again so you can get one more character. Sonic 2 for me. I think Sonic 2 is the best one in 31 years. Next question from Luke Cullen. If all the PlayStation mascots, e.g. Kratos, Ellie and Joel, Aloy, Spider-Man, Nathan Drake, etc., were all in a room together, what do you think they would do and what do you think they would talk about? Money, I imagine.
Money?
Yeah.
They're not talking about money.
Really? Well, I didn't talk about franchise deals.
Kratos has no need for money.
No, I suppose not.
That man just likes to punch and rip.
He wants gardening tips. He's got his little hut and he's got his things to do.
I think, and I hazard a guess, Nathan Drake would be an insufferable drunk and ruin the party.
He would have
too much of the sauce and everyone else would be like, what's this guy doing, man? Like, get him back to his hotel. He's
Nathan Drake,
me up.
He'd go too far he'd be the one that you'd just be waiting for Elena to come and get him.
He absolutely would.
That excruciating time, that 20 minutes between you got to wait for him to get picked up.
I've been watching a lot of Curb Your Enthusiasm and I think he would be like Larry David and Curb Your Enthusiasm, and Elena would be like his wife Cheryl in that.
Have you one of those things
apologizing for him?
Where like someone is like, because someone who actually who you want to stay has to then go and take care of him, like Aloy or Spider Man has to go and help him to the car and everything, but that ruins the energy of the rest of the night. It just happens.
I think Spider Man and Nathan Drake would have a lot to talk about because they've both got a lot of adventures. Yeah. They're both, you know, quite handsome young men, very witty, very quick. I think like they would team up and they would be able to talk about, you know, this gold that they got, this weird supernatural zombie that they encountered. Spider Man's got Venom and Rhino and all of this stuff. I think they would break off and form a clique. And Kratos would be very annoyed with him.
Kratos would sit in the corner. I think Ellie and Joel. I think Ellie might be a bit of a drag.
I think she justifiably so.
Yeah, justifiably so. I think both of them probably.
What
sit
version of Joel?
Like, well, that's the thing. I mean, it's
end
whatever
of two,
whatever
of
scenario you corner. Would like. Yeah, I guess you just want to go with mid in between Last of Us 1 and 2. Where it's,
Abby will be there. Just you know.
Yeah.
Abby and Ellie just
waiting
arguing.
To take a shot. Yeah.
Just chilling.
Hanging out, getting the drinks
Astro
in.
Astro could be there. Astro?
I'd love Astro to be there as the second best PlayStation exclusive of the PlayStation 4 generation. Yeah.
He would be the life of the party. Anytime something threatens to kick off, little Astro would come in.
Skating.
He would skate in.
Little pirouette.
And he would put the family back together. It would be a good time. Yeah.
Calm down, lads, he says.
Crash Bandicoot would
we'll
have.
Not be there.
He's not be there.
Well, what?
He's on loan.
No, he's on loan. So do we not include.
He's escaped the Activision jail.
Yeah, but do we not. Yeah, exactly. Do we not include like former employees, like, are they not allowed back not allowed for the Christmas there, and
I guess
Christmas
he was a good lad when he was here, so I guess he can come back.
He's an icon, surely he gets an honorary invite.
He gets to have one of the free glasses of Shambas,
right? He comes in, he does.
So Spyro's there too, I'm assuming.
Spyro, no, because
that's like, the same deal,
yeah, but he's less cool.
Okay. Oh, what are you saying?
I'm saying that, yeah.
Squash, okay. Well, yeah, Crash is cooler than Spyro, but not by much.
Well,
Spyro's little face.
he's not of drinking age. He's not allowed to be at this party.
He can handle it. He can handle his liquor. Spyro can handle his liquor.
I don't know if that's true, man.
I think he'd be fine. Because I've got some assistance, we talked about the best exclusives. I want to know Mr. James Dowse's quick thoughts on Astro Bot being the best, second best PlayStation 4 exclusive of the generation.
Definitely agree.
You guys have been...
But number one is Returnal.
Is that true?
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Are you doing this just to play us off?
He's doing a little thing.
I assure you, I've put so many hours into that game. Love it. Loved every second of that game.
I've never had such whiplash of
I've never felt so betrayed
and
in my life.
Loving you in an instant. I'll take that. That's fine. That's fine, like my girlfriend.
I feel like I've got to say, the only reason I ever played it was because you gave me a free copy, one of you, and I'd have never bought that.
It'll be some sort of review code thing.
I'd have never bought that.
No, as well, you shouldn't have done.
But because I got it for free, Yeah. I can't recommend it enough.
And yet it still was a waste of money. Yeah. Like, it's hard for that but it's just that bad.
That is just so not true.
Well, I mean, it's hard to...
I mean, my opinion's not... I didn't like Deathloop, so it's one of those.
No, neither did I. That game's terrible. So it's one of those. That does reinforce
you. If you don't listen to me.
Just feel ganged up on.
I feel like I set up the pins there and then I threw the ball back into my face. But
I'd bring that person to the party. The person from Returnal. What were they called?
Celine, I think she was called.
Yeah?
Yeah.
She's sort of lost in her own mind for the most part.
Helmet.
She got cool tech, though. Nice dolls.
Yeah. Great voice actor.
Mm-hmm. Have a nice time. Anyway, next question is from Roy Matumbo Turner, who says, if someone hasn't played a classic game and it's about to be remade, should they play the original first or wait to see if the remake is a total fire a la 13?
Now, this is a great question.
It is a great question. Josh, have you played Final Fantasy VII yet, mate?
Hey? I've played the only version that matters, the remake.
Well, you didn't play the original one then, did you? Hey?
Well, obviously, I'm biased because I played the Final Fantasy VII remake before playing the original, and I had no intentions of playing the original until after I played the remake, so I'd say it's entirely...
And that was in 2019.
It's entirely what you can stomach, and it's entirely dependent on what genres you prefer, IMO, because, say, if you're playing Resident Evil 2, the original versus the remake, they're such radically different games, even though they're based on the same source, that, you know, you might not like the tank-controlled survival horror style of the original, but you might prefer the kind of Dead Space, later Resident Evil style of the remake, you know what I mean? So if whatever, ultimately, go IMO with whatever appeals to you the most... And then that will open the door to the thing that you might not have initially been interested in, if that makes sense. Then
like
you might,
Final Fantasy VII.
Exactly. Yeah. Then you might end up trying a genre or a type of game that you wouldn't have if you hadn't played the one that appealed to you in the first place.
Turn-based combat.
Turn-based combat. PS1 JRPGs.
Maybe it's your kink. You never know. Maybe it's your thing. You might love it.
I will...
Monday morning, I come in, he goes, I've played Dragon Quest VIII. I love it now. I'd love that. Mr. James Dow's thoughts on doing this?
I remember way back when Tomb Raider Anniversary came out. Can you remember that game?
Yeah.
I adored the trilogy, the first one, two, and three, back in the whatever the year that was. Anniversary, terrible in my opinion. I hated it.
Really?
Yeah. So
what? Okay.
Yeah, So before that came out, I just went, you know what, I'll play 1, 2, and 3 again. I was like, this is great. Played Anniversary, went, oh, I'll go back to the original. So sometimes the original is actually much better.
Yes, I would agree.
Yeah, I mean, I would always say that if you can get access to those original games, even if you don't complete them or whatever, I would always say you should dip your toes in it just to see what they're pulling from, because I just think, I always think regardless that will help with whatever they've remade. Even if you didn't finish much of the original RE2, for example, you can see what they've pulled from, whether it's locations or characters or pieces of music or something like that.
Ocarina of Time 3D, great remake.
Yeah.
Majora's Mask 3D, not a good remake.
No, but that was a terrible game initially.
Yes.
So it's, what can you do?
Yeah, so it's one of those, like,
thankfully there's no one in the room to batter us. We can get away with such things.
I too hate Majora's Mask.
It's not great, is it? No.
What I would say, though, is that if you try something and you don't, say if you try a remake and you don't necessarily like it, still try the original, because oftentimes those seemingly subtle changes are radical enough that you might not enjoy one, but really, really enjoy the other, like you said.
There's a big preservationist streak in me that just would always push you towards the original. Like, I can't think of that many games where the remake has outshone or literally replaced the originals. Like
Crash Trilogy?
I was thinking that. I was going to... Not the Crash Trilogy, because I don't
Spyro
like...
Trilogy.
Spyro Trilogy, totally. I don't like how they changed the Crash physics like that. I really hate what they did with Crash 1 and 2. But the Spyro Trilogy, absolutely. But something like Final Fantasy, like, they're so different. Like, you know, if you play the original, you'll still get something completely different out of it than you do with the remake. So yeah, I guess all three of us would say, try if you can to dabble in the originals and see what you can get from them. Next question from Schmance Schmilliamson. Is Speed Racer the best live action anime movie? Yes, it is.
It's been a long, long time since I've seen it, but I love the reappraisal of that movie in recent years. I think it was a film YouTuber and critic Patrick Willems who did a video on why it's like awesome.
Oh, is that why it's doing the rounds again?
Maybe. I think that was a few years ago, perhaps, but I know he's championed it for a while. And it's just kind of like... For me, it's like the Wachowski sisters were doing stuff in that period that you just don't see accomplished now, for better or worse. Like, yeah, it's goofy. Yeah, it's completely over the top. But, like, that has a vision behind it that so many blockbusters now just don't. And I think we can appreciate that now in 2022 way more than we could back in 2005.
I feel like there were a lot of attempts to do live-action anime, and hardly any of them work. I remember watching a movie, I think it's pronounced Kasern or Kashern, It's like C-A-S-S-H-E-R-N. And that was, I remember everyone watching that in high school. It was like, oh my God, it's live action anime. And there's some really cool shots in that. But I remember going to Speed Racer after being told that it's terrible and it didn't review very well. But then thinking it was really cool and just being like, oh, like the shot composition, I like all the different, the coloring and everything. Like it has this really cool visual punch to it. So yeah, I think it maybe is one of the best live action anime movies, but that is an increasingly small pool as a lot of companies who tried that stuff just went, actually, it's better to just do a full on animated movie regardless and stop trying to make it live action. Ghost in the Shell. So yeah, depends how it's done. And next question from AJ, what are your thoughts on game streaming? Personally, I'm not a fan, even with good internet. I hope Sony's new PlayStation service makes it so that we can download PlayStation 3 games rather than stream them. I hate streaming.
I love streaming.
Why, James?
Because I might just be have good internet at the minute. So I might
brag
what's,
that, man.
Yeah, what's the word? That's a humble brag, that, isn't it? I take it back. I've got average internet. But like, I've got decent internet because I wanted to be able to do these kind of things.
Mm. Even with your big monster-sized internet, are you not thinking that is there still not some lag, though? Like, it's not something where you go and hit a button and it's not as pristine as it could be if you were playing on a regular one-to-one setup?
No.
Really?
No, okay. I think it's because I place it right next to the router. I specifically wanted...
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
Internet just to do these things. I don't know why, but like being able to play Flight Simulator without having to re-download all 100 gigs.
Yes.
And it just works.
Even, see, for me, every time I've tried this, and I get the dream of it, and I think it's kind of fun when I've used my phone to do like a Game Pass thing, and I've played like a few rounds of like the Master Chief Collection on my phone or something, that's neat. But I can always tell that it's streaming, whether the graphics get a bit bitty, whether it's like the there's latency in the button presses or something, it's not 100% there. And so that always puts me off. And if you've not experienced that at all, then that's lush, but I've never been able to get a pristine connection. Yeah. That's what always puts me off.
Realistically, nobody's going to be able to do this for a long, long time, because half the internet, like my last flat that I lived in, the internet was like 1 megabyte. It was terrible, and I could never do this. So it's just like, depends where you live.
Yeah,
I guess it's so unfair, really.
True. I think like the ideal version of this is what you described, where you click on something, you can just play it, you don't have to install anything, and it just works. I've never had that be the case. Josh, thoughts?
I'm somewhere in between you both, because I will happily play a streamed game out of necessity if there's no other way to play it easily. You know, I was a big fan of PlayStation Now for a long time because, you know, I had a good stint in there where I was playing through all of the God of War games. I was playing through all of the Metal Gear Solid games, and it wouldn't have been necessarily feasible for me to play those games otherwise. Certainly not with the same ease and accessibility that I had. However, yeah, like you realize that oftentimes, depending on the title, you're not getting the best experience. For instance, I wanted to play the Red Dead Redemption 1. That was on PS Now, so I jumped into it and just thought, something ain't right here. So I ended up going to a store and buying a secondhand Xbox version, which just played so much better. So for me, it's a case of I would never choose it as my first choice, but I absolutely would, because I do think the tech there is fine. You know, you're still getting a good experience overall. You're just not getting the best experience.
I think that's my thing, is that just, it's too much. Like, it's too many blemishes, and it's something that can be avoided. Like, if I really want to go back to an old game, I'll do what you did. I'll go and find the console. I'll go find the game itself. And that is, like, a hell of a way around to access it. But I just can't stand the lagging, the streaming, the whatever. So it always puts me off.
The one thing I'd never justify is the Switch. Cloud ports, how you can play Control.
Control, Resident Evil 7, Hitman,
once those servers are down, you'll never play it again.
Yeah.
Which is just tight.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, as is proven, I think it was like, you know, a few days ago, all the Xbox stuff went down for a bit. Depends on what game it was and which cloud service it was. But any issues with that, you're immediately impacted by it. Just for me, I think as much as I like the idea of it, I've just yet to see it be proven. Like, I want to be able to play a game on streaming and have it feel like I was playing it normally. If that happens and the infrastructure gets there, then that'd be cool. But I'm definitely with AJ. Just for me, I'm just not a fan. Next question from Steve. What are your favorite song moments in games? Holding out for a hero at the end of Saints Row 3, Danger Zone in GTA Online when you steal some fighter jets. Now, I don't remember that at all. Now, that again, I didn't steal very many fighter jets, but I do remember Welcome to the Jungle in San Andreas when you're making the getaway near the beginning of the game and you're taking everybody out in first person and Welcome to the Jungle kicks in.
That is awesome.
It's a lovely time. I don't really have that many set piece music moments, really. I think of soundtrack moments.
Incredibly surprised that you haven't mentioned Control in the Astral Maze.
Yeah. I guess I don't.
Okay, that was cool.
Because Poets of the Fall, who are the band that played during that thing, wrote music as the Gods of Asgard. I think they're called the Gods of Asgard, which are an in-law band, not themselves. I think of that as like custom music for.
Right.
Like that. I don't think of it as like the same way that he's describing here. But that's a hell of a shout, though, because, that music's awesome.
One of my favorite memories is San Andreas, turning the flying car cheat on and driving around the countryside and then putting All My Exes Live in Texas on the K Rose station. And, you know, 7-year-old me would be loving it.
Seven?
Yeah.
There are so many moments like that in GTA, you know, when you're just kind of driving down. For me, it was always GTA 5 and doing a getaway with like 5 stars while Glamorous by Fergie was playing, which was just made me feel like the most badass person in the entire world. I was like, this is great.
The thing, if it was like, because I, like, specific moments, yes, there are scenes like Holding Out for Hero would be one of the ones I would have picked, or at the beginning of Saints 4, I think it's Aerosmith's Don't Want to Miss a Thing, where your character is trying to latch onto a space rocket and then it all blows up and everything. But for me, one thing I miss is EA Tracks stuff, when it used to be like EA used to put all their money into getting all sorts of licensed music, like Burnout, like the old Burnout soundtracks. Yeah, Burnout Paradise, Burnout 3, Burnout Revenge, they all had great soundtracks. And like, same with Def Jam, like they would make a point of getting all that incredible music, and then maybe you happen to be having a fight as Joe Budden's in the background or whatever it is, but you don't get them anymore because EA don't put their money there anymore. Like sometimes 2K do on their NBA stuff. But even the latest WWE game has like 5 licensed songs in it, and then the rest of it are just wrestlers' entrance music. I feel like just either it's because of the music industry jacking their prices up, or they just go, well, that's not where we're going to put our money anymore.
Yeah, totally. I would definitely shout out as well the Fallout games, just because all the trailers for like Fallout 3 and Fallout New Vegas always had a music moment that stuck with me. And I know that's technically the trailers rather than the game itself. Mm-hmm. But for me, the music in those titles, the licensed music, is such an integral part of its DNA and appeal. Like, I have found so many artists, older artists, from those titles that I listen to now. I will be buying the Marty Robbins Gunfighter Ballads record that is coming out at the end of this month. You know what I mean? Because of Fallout New Vegas.
On the Ink Spots on Fallout.
The Ink Spots are on Fallout.
Ink Spots like one of the only ones that I can pick out from all that stuff.
Right.
It's cool. But yeah, overall, I feel like game soundtracks like are rarely prioritized in the top tier stuff. Like, some indie stuff will do it, like Hotline Miami or whatever. But they're very few and far between.
One more.
Go on.
Mad World, the instrumental in Gears 3 where Dom dies.
Solid. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That might be the shout, to be honest. Considering that was from a marketing, like a trailer, and then putting it in the game too. Yes.
Speaking of what you just said then with music rights not being as prevalent anymore, I can always remember Forza Horizon 1, I think it was, had like Arctic Monkeys in it. Same with Gran Turismo, had all these feeder, whatever in it, beautiful songs. But now, when I played Forza Horizon 5, I couldn't tell you any song that was
same. And God, Just a Day by Fido was on Gran Turismo 3. Yeah.
It was? Well, yeah. You can remember that, but what was in Forza Horizon 5?
Yeah, you're not wrong. I wonder if that is the music industry's side of it, because obviously there's so many revenue streams that have changed for them over the last 20 odd years. And maybe those songs are just way too expensive now for to be justified anymore. But yeah, I miss that stuff. I feel like games had those audible footprints a lot more than they do now. Next question from Pinky. You can tell this is from a couple of weeks ago. Where do we stand on the wheels versus doors debate? Now, I don't feel like this debate got that big. Remember, Mr. Adam Cleary asked me about it. And then the wheels versus
the
doors.
Wheels,
right, are there more wheels in the world or doors in the world? We'll do this very quickly. James Dowse. I looked at Josh.
I'm going to let Josh go first.
Yeah.
So I can say the opposite.
I stand by. I think doors. I think wheels. I take it back.
We'll go wheels, because if we're going wheels of all sizes, then even a chair can have four wheels.
That was the thing, because when I first thought, well, think about an office building or a skyscraper. How many doors are going to be in that?
Yes.
But then you think, if you're looking at an office, how many wheels on like desks, chairs are going to be in those?
Even some cupboards, to be honest.
But cupboards.
That's one door, though.
Yeah, not often.
You don't just
not
have as many one as cupboard, the wheels, though, do you? Let's just say in your house.
Yes.
In your house, how many doors are there compared to wheels?
It's a great point, man.
It's a good point. But
your kitchen will have like 10 cupboards?
It's true, but if we're talking about like, but I'd still think the amount of office chairs would drastically beat the amount of doors in a giant building, which would make up for the amount of lack of wheels in my own house.
James Dowse has just convinced me there. Because even if you choose cars, like cars have like at least two doors, often three.
They're five doors because they've got the front.
They class like the boot as a door, and it's so not.
So you're five compared to four wheels.
That's true. I mean, unless you're using one of those two door.
But those desk chairs that have like eight wheels on, there's loads of them.
Oh man,
doors have eight doors.
You guys are both going doors.
I'm gonna go doors.
Yeah,
I do like the band, but I will go with wheels. The Foo Fighters song. Next question by Mad Mate. I'm a Saints Row fan. I started out on Saints Row 1 and 2, and I finished them all. But the reboot doesn't give me very serious vibes, so I don't want to invest. What do you guys think? I keep forgetting this game's coming out.
I couldn't care later
this year. Where do you guys? Where you come down on Saints Row? Did you play many of the other ones?
I played the third.
Okay,
great film.
I love Saints 3. That's my favorite game.
Very good.
I need to abstain from this because Saints Row has never, sadly, been my thing. I tried getting into 2, tried getting into 3, did Get Out of Hell.
It didn't
do it for me, man.
Oh, Saints 3, I think, is the one where they nailed everything. Yeah. Like, Saints 1, they were trying to chase GTA, and then Saints 2, they went all wacky because it was like, well, San Andreas happened, we should be wacky. And then GTA got serious again, so they went even more crazy in Saints 3. But for me, Saints 3 is where the script was really good, where they're like, they're celebrities in the world, and they're robbing a bank as themselves, and with them with their own face masks on. And I was like, that's just a fun setup. And I was like, everyone's asking for autographs, even though they're getting killed. And I was like, that's kind of fun. So yeah, I love Saints 3. And then
3.
Yeah, then like 4 was like more of that, but too much superpowers. That was when like the frame rate could barely handle it and it was just getting a bit crazy. Got Out of Hell was horrendous,
right?
Because it was just this weird, like, what if they had wings and you play as Johnny Gat, a character who never got over from day one that no one cares about. And then they're doing the reboot. Where do you guys come down on the reboot, I guess? Because do you think they need to just do a full clean slate?
I mean,
should they try and trade on the wackiness, basically?
I don't think they necessarily need a clean slate. Like, you probably could have just continued it, even despite of how wacky it did get and how ridiculous it did get. For me, like, I just kind of feel nothing for this remake. Like,
well, what even is Saints Row now? Like, that's the thing. Like,
But GTA got wacky, though, with GTA Online. Like, flying cars.
Well, they sort of,
like
separated it. I mean, GTA 5's story is still kind of over the top in spots, but nothing compared to some of the setups for missions in online. But I was reading, I think it was Tom Henderson, like, notable Call of Duty Battlefield leaker or whatever, and he was talking about some Saints Row details, gameplay details for the new one, where it's all to do with flow and flow points, where you're doing, like, a melee kill, then you might slide along the ground, then you might uppercut someone, or you might put a grenade down someone's pants and kick them into someone else, and all of those things count towards your, like, flow score, and it's all about chaining stuff together, kind of like a third-person bullet storm.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, that's way more differentiable than what Rockstar are doing. So, like, you could double down on that.
Overdrive comes to mind when you describe that, which I can kind of get.
Like a stunt system for combat.
Yeah, like if you kind of make it almost into more of a rhythm game, like that could be kind of interesting. Cool. My question is, like, the fan base for Saints Row are so, you know, ride or die. Like, I don't know how those changes are going to be appreciated. I thought the gameplay that we got after the reveal trailer actually looked fine. It looked
some of the
decent.
New stuff looks cool. Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, it looks kind of cool. But I just don't really know what its identity is anymore. Or and for me, Saints Row needs to justify its own existence, and it hasn't done that yet.
I think it's one of those things where, like, the new gameplay looks cool in like a physics sandbox kind of way, lots of pirouetting bodies and havoc physics and whatever, and you can do that, and powered by new hardware, it'll be very fun. But in terms of, like, how the hell do you age that wacky, zany mentality of the early 2010s in 2022? Like, a lot of us see a million memes every day. Like, it's not, I don't know how the hell you even come close
to
doing.
A weird opinion, but I see Saints Row in the same way I see like Far Cry. Like,
okay,
personally, I'm not the biggest fan of Far Cry, so I always see it come and then go immediately.
Right.
And I can't help but think this will be the exact same. Right. It will launch, and then in a year's time, GTA will be out. So who cares about Saints Row anymore?
It's interesting because, like, yeah, I mean, like, the rumors around GTA 6 are that production is nowhere near as on track as it should be. So I wonder if they've seen that gap in the market again.
Taking
because
advantage.
You know, so many crime games just dropped off because it was like, well, we can't compete with GTA, but maybe this can.
Well, I mean, if I recall, Saints Row is slated for August, which is quite a nice time for it, I think, just because it's sort of got this gap. You know, there's nothing out in the immediate future that's going to contend with. This means it comes out before, you know, September, October, November, God of War, it avoids all of that stuff. Maybe it can be like, right, we're the only game in town. Why don't you try us? Hopefully we can convince you. I mean, that's my optimistic view.
It's a weird time to launch a game, August. Because that's the end of the summer holidays.
It's because they were originally slated to release, like, around now, and then it got delayed a little bit, so I think they've just kind of pushed it a few months. It might get pushed again, who knows?
I kind of hope that they've, like, made the most of the new tech. Like, if they get out there and show some big, crazy set-piece stuff that does feel like it has, you have agency in those set pieces and make the most of the physics and stuff, then I think you can get by on the gameplay. I think a lot of people, especially like you said, old school Saints Row fans who want it to be grounded and serious, who hated all the Saints Row 2 onwards stuff, that's obviously what they're going for. You're not going to get a grounded Saints Row again. So I think it's hard to try and sell it on the tone. I think they need to sell it on the gameplay. But yeah, I keep forgetting it's coming out. I just feel like it's just this weird, like, miasma of, like, Fortnite colors with, like, you know, physics action stuff. But I guess you never know. Next one is from your done messed up Aaron, who says, good day. What are your favorite candies? And why do wine gums suck now? They used to be so good.
Did they? I'm not a wine guy. I used to love wine gums.
They always made my tongue weird. They always, like, used to rip them out. I thought they were quite. Did you give me?
Oh, I love any sweet that threatens to take a tooth.
That's what I'm saying.
Absolutely
not gobstoppers though. They were like, I don't know what the world calls gobstoppers.
It needs to be a jelly based thing where I bite down and I'm secure, then I bite up and I'm like, is it going?
And it goes
out?
With you. Yeah, it comes back up again. I don't need that. Wine gums, though, I always found that when I had a few of them, because they had that weird little ridge and that weird, like, sort of flowery powder stuff that was on them.
Yes.
And then they would make your tongue sharp and weird. And I didn't like that.
Okay. I tell you what can do one. I know this wasn't the question, the opposite of the question. Jelly babies can go away.
Really? I think they're overrated, to be honest.
Yeah, strange texture, strange taste, too small.
Like, weirdly dry, like, weirdly over-flowered.
Yeah.
Just sort of... Yeah, not nice.
Here's a question.
Go on.
With Tangfastics.
Oh my God, you are speaking my language.
I've started to stop eating sweets that are just coated in sugar.
Yes.
I've noticed. But Tangfastics, because I bought some the other day for Jazz, and all she had was them. And I realised, this is not good for your teeth, is it? Oh.
You realise all this sugar's not good for your teeth, is it?
27 years in,
bad boys in my mouth.
And you're just thinking, hang on, this might not be good
something's
for your
going wrong here.
Right now. Yeah. What could it be? I think everyone has that moment, though, where you've had too many sweets, you've had too much fizzy pop, and you're like, my teeth
age 27,
are wearing, they're wearing a sugar coat at this point. Yeah. I don't like it anymore.
I will put a hot take out. I don't like any sweets.
That is outrageous, Scott.
I've gone for that as
I just,
well.
I've never cared, even when I was
chocolate,
a kid.
Though.
Chocolate's great. Yeah. I'm classing it as everything other than chocolate, like Haribo or Tangfastics or like gelatin-based stuff, jelly beans, whatever. I don't care about any of it. I don't care. Like the things that you would class as candies, I don't care about.
Well, I'm going to tell you my favorite candy right now and answer the question. Hopefully,
I can actually answer the question.
I can make you guys go, whoa, I forgot those are great.
Go on.
Malwams, any form of Malwams.
Ah, they were all right.
All right.
I felt like they were upstaged by their own TV ads. And then I got them and I was like,
The pinballs, the shoes, the other things, the long cylinder things.
I'm doing a motion with my hand because I like those fake candy cigarettes when I was younger.
I used to.
I thought they were cool.
Yes.
Not because I wanted to pretend I was smoking. I just like the idea of, like, you know, when you see like a character with like a bit of buckwheat in their hand, in their mouth. And I was like, well, I can just have that. I like that. I thought that was cool. And they came with Batman stickers.
They certainly did.
Yeah.
Fake tattoos.
I like that. And also, my only go-to candy that I'll still consume age 32 and a half is cola balls. Little fizzy cola balls. Very vintage choice. Very old school choice. Okay. It's a good time. The Sonic 2.
I'm sorry, I'm just getting really excited.
Go on.
You know, like the giant strawberries. Oh, those are unreal. Nice.
They're a bit too gooey, then.
They are gooey,
yeah.
They are gooey.
My favorite stretch sweet a bit too much. Of all time. I don't know if this will translate to US audience. Flump.
Flump?
Yeah, do you know those marshmallows? Just a twizzly marshmallow.
This is where we got to disagree, man, because I do not trust the texture of those kind of marshmallow-based gimmicks. What are they,
don't Americans call them like Mips or Mups or Pips or something?
I'm sure.
When I was losing my mind.
Did you just call me?
When I was in America, we had little marshmallow things, and they were called like Mups or Pips or Pups or Whoops or whatever you call them. Yeah, them. And some American people will get in touch and say what they're called. They do little marshmallow things, and they're called Mups or Bips or Pups or whatever.
Nah, this
called
is like a lengthy flump.
It's not a lengthy flump. It's definitely a thing that sounds like a mup.
The worst thing you could do to me is put a bit of marshmallow in a hot chocolate. Like, I'm get it out.
I've never seen that. I've never seen that in The Simpsons, thinking I should try it. Actually, let me debut something on this podcast that I discovered the other day.
Come on, then.
Put cereal into a pint of milk instead of a bowl. The other day, I realized, because I got some Cookie Crisp, and I was like, well, they're going to last on top of the milk for quite a while. Uh-huh. So I got a nice pint of milk, and I put the Cookie Crisp on top of it, and then I drank it, and I had a mouthful of it. It was really good.
I'll tell you what. For a period at
and
uni.
Josh's face when I told him, he was enlightened.
Oh, for a period at uni, I used to have a bowl of Cocoa Pops and a glass of milk.
Yeah.
And I'd
shot one of them and then have a neck of the other one.
I'd ram these into my mouth and then take a swig.
I'm sure you would. But I mean, it's still, if you put the cereal into a pint, I looked there and I was like, I've been living the lie for 30 years. Can't I drink the pint of milk and have a mouthful of cereal as I go?
Got two things to say about this. First, in terms of combining two things, the worst thing you can do for your teeth, but something that is delicious, is take a Tankfastic, put it in your mouth, and then take a sip of Full Fat Cork. The flavor explosion and certainly sugar explosion in your mouth is outrageous.
Somewhere in the world, some gang of 8-year-olds having this exact same conversation.
8-year-olds?
Yeah.
I'm 27. I know you are, but
someone else is breaking through the mold as well. I'm just saying.
And secondly, I just love the image, man, of like you having some kind of crisis downstairs. Pint of cereal in your wife. Downstairs, lights off.
What's going on? I've got a crisis downstairs.
Necking this pint of like milk and cereal and your wife just being like, Scott, hilarious.
Oh, there's
the man I married.
She was in full awe of like, why haven't we been doing this for years? Who sold us the bowl lie? It's a pint of milk and you put the cereal on top and you don't guzzle it. You do a little mouthful. Same mouthful you might do if you were going to have it, but you don't need to bother with the spoon.
You save
on
the washing. It.
What cereal did you have on top?
It was a Cocoa Crisp.
Is that not crunchy?
That's quite nice and crunchy. Then,
okay.
Yeah.
So the bottom layer will be quite moist of the milk.
Eventually, but I mean,
will be crunchy.
You have it at a sort of brisk pace, so it doesn't get too soggy. But it was very nice.
You could do yourself such a mischief.
You couldn't do it with cornflakes.
Having a Weetabix in there. Oh,
that's crazy. That's weird.
That's weird.
You have to cut it up to make it.
Weetabix, haven't I?
No,
I have 4 weeks Weetabix.
Oh yeah, because I said that's not Weetabix. That's a pyre. That's a full on light the beacons.
It is a stodgy
Gondor
mess.
Is coming. Yeah,
that'll like fill you up for the full day, man.
I haven't eaten today because of that.
Prepared for the whole
my old flatmates who I used to live with. One was like a doctor in training, and to fill himself up before he went on his shifts, he would have what he called a Threetabix, which was just three Weetabix. Uh-huh. In the fact that you've outdone that with
four,
a Fortabix,
I love that he named it.
Heard of?
Yeah. Couldn't tell you where three. I had a
Threetabix.
Yeah,
this morning.
I glued it together. Somehow, this has been the What Culture Gaming podcast. We stopped talking about games about 5 minutes ago, but it's fine because hopefully you had a lovely time. A massive thank you to everybody for sending in their questions across the last few weeks. And also, yeah, it's been the What Culture Gaming podcast. I've been Scott Taylor. He's been John Dowse.
I've been Mr. Weetabix.
And Josh Brown.
I've been Mr. Tankfastic.
Mr. Diabetes.
And we'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.